Start your day off on the right foot with great local programming on Sunrise from the Center on WRCE.
Today we have the morning show talking about childhood obesity, and we're here to talk with Grace Denman and Lindsay Hatfield, both registered dietitians, to talk about this subject, childhood obesity, which I read, Grace, that 1 in 5 children in the U.S. are affected by this. That's a staggering number, isn't it?
It is, and it's a number that has grown slowly over the years, and so it's just, that's why they then introduced this month where it's the Childhood Obesity Awareness Month, to just make people aware that this is happening and that it is increasing over the years. And if you're a parent or a child, to just be aware and kind of taking action.
As you look at that, Lindsay, some reasons why the numbers, I think they've kind of tapered off a little bit, haven't they, over the last few years, numbers in terms of childhood obesity?
I think that because there is this awareness and this focus on trying to be proactive with healthy habits, both in the family and just in kids themselves too, I think that really helps at least balance this out and take a little bit more action as to what we can do to either prevent it, help treat it. And that is probably why we're seeing those numbers kind of plateau a little bit more.
But it's so hard, isn't it? I mean, you know, you have family functions and fun things and candy and cake. And
kids are always so busy, it seems like. A lot of times eating on the go is a big struggle or contributor to childhood obesity, because they're going from extracurriculars to sports to school events to, like you said, family functions. And sometimes it's hard to pay attention to what we are eating or how much we are consuming too, which can lead to, you know, the more we start to do that, the more we lose focus of our health. So it is harder for kids, but I think educating them and as parents showing by example can really help promote that healthier future for them.
Yeah, kids, I guess it's a good trait to learn early, right? To carry that on to later in life then, Grace.
It is. So having parents model that and prioritize it with their kids, giving them time to play, letting them get that physical activity in, and then also just having that healthy food available to them. There are studies that show that kids who have family dinners are actually at less risk of having a heavier weight. And I really think that I attribute that to that they're watching their parents eat. They're watching their having their parents eat vegetables and whole grains, and they're being introduced to that early on, and then they'll take that as they head off as they grow up too.
That's a good point. So if you're telling your kids eat those vegetables and then you're sitting there eating a bag of Doritos, it's probably not a good thing, is it?
No, and kids are watching. Even at early ages, they're watching and seeing what their parents are choosing and how their parents are acting, and they're going to learn from that.
I know one of my favorite stories from our daycare is my wife always tries to fix some healthy meals, and she's had several parents come back over the years. How come, what is this about kale? What is this about kale? You know, the kids are asking for kale when they go home.
Right, and I'm sure because your wife is modeling that good behavior and having them try different foods. The other big thing is that we can't give up on our children when we introduce new foods. It takes them about 10 times to actually even know if they like the food. So we got to keep introducing it to those young children to see if they can catch on and like that food versus giving it to them once and giving up.
I know that my mom used to pull her hair out trying to get me to eat vegetables and things like that. And it's interesting because I didn't think I liked it, but as an adult, I realize I do. And that probably is pretty common, isn't it?
Right. I feel like the more parents involve their kids also in the cooking process and finding different ways to try new foods too, whether it's cooked vegetables versus raw vegetables, or it's hidden in a casserole or on a homemade pizza or something like that, that can really figure out what you do like and versus what you don't like. And then even experimenting that as you grow older too. And now you have to cook for yourself. You don't have your parents doing this for you. So I feel like that's become a huge trend also, is you see all these different recipes online, videos of others cooking or trying different things, where kale was that big trend and people were putting in smoothies or salads. So just kind of being aware of also what's out there and maybe how others are utilizing these different foods that you might not have tried before.
You can disguise it in the form of even, you mentioned pizza, like a cauliflower crust or something, you know, or the kids might like it.
Exactly, yeah. Yes, you know, sometimes that's a good alternative if you're looking for a healthier version, or if you want to switch it up from eating your regular pizza. Lots of different forms of sneaking vegetables in there.
What about recommendations for the diet? You know, how many vegetables should we eat on our plate there, and, you know, for our kids too?
Yeah, so for produce in general, fruits and vegetables combined, we want to aim for about 4 to 5 servings a day, whether that's 2 cups of your leafy green vegetables, 1/2 cup of your fruit juice. Whole fruits and veggies are going to provide us the most nutrients versus like in juice form, dried form, things like that. Or if we're looking at our plates and we want to try to cover at least 1/2 of our plate, mainly with those vegetables and also adding some fruit in there too. And then the other 1/4 being your good protein, and then another 1/4 some starch or grains.
I think we can all look back and say, whoops, we didn't eat enough of that yesterday, or whatever the case might be. You know, I mean, I think, you know, you try, but sometimes it's hard, isn't it?
For sure. There's always going to be those hiccups, like you said, prior family events, celebrations, holidays. Sometimes you're just stressed or craving something that you don't normally eat, or that you sometimes view as not your typical healthy diet or meal. However, that's totally okay. Getting back on track, keeping up with your consistency, eating mostly a healthy, balanced diet is really going to help you in the long run versus stressing out about, you know, the times you do have pizza or eat a little bit too much spaghetti or something like that. So it's all about this kind of balance between your lifestyle, what's going on, quality of life, and then what you do mostly on a daily basis, weekly basis.
For children, Grace, that you want them to be active. So you want to encourage some activities too, don't you?
We do. So children should get about 60 minutes a day, which is a different recommendation than what adults should have. Adults are recommended at least 150 minutes a week, which will break down to about 20 minutes a day, 30 minutes, 5 days a week. But children need a little bit more, especially if they are a little bit heavier. We don't want children going on diets. We want them to have exercise, because children should not be restricted in calories, but they should have that activity. So we would encourage, yes, they're going to get some activity in gym class. They're going to get some when they run around at recess, but it's not going to equal to that 60. So when they come back home, encouraging maybe a family walk, where then you can also, as the adult, get the exercise you need, or just letting them play outside and be children.
Right, exactly. I think that's the main thing, getting them off the screen and getting them some fresh air, right?
Correct.
And it's a beautiful time right now to be doing something like that.
It is. It's a really great time because it's not too hot. You don't have to worry about making sure they're hydrated or anything. And it's also just not too cold where you have to dress them up.
Right. And I think we talked about eating family meals, but family, you know, bike riding or whatever the case might be, that's real key too, isn't it?
Exactly. Because then again, it's parents modeling that behavior that we want the children to then take into their future lives as well. And it just helps with getting everybody the exercise they need.
Are there some numbers when we talk about obesity, some numbers in terms of a higher rate of obesity at certain ages? Have you looked at that?
There, it's kind of a span across ages for where that obesity lies. A lot of the things that play into a role is their access to healthy foods and also income status that can help drive where we see a little bit higher rates in places that don't have local grocery stores, and they're kind of just relying on those fast food chains and convenience stores to fuel their children.
So Richland County is affected by this, aren't they?
It would be, because we do not have many options for a healthy grocery store. We do at least have Walmart, which does support having good fruits and vegetables. But people who live further away from town, we could definitely be seeing some higher rates.
Do you see higher rates, Lindsay, with insurance? That's another thing I thought about, too, with private insurance versus someone on Medicaid or something like that.
Right. Coverage is going to vary based off of insurances and what an insurance company can cover as far as seeing a dietitian, as far as getting their services or us working with them. So that's a big impact too, as to parents or kids are finding this nutrition information either on social media or on the internet versus from a reliable source like a registered dietitian, simply because they unfortunately either can't afford the out-of-pocket cost or in their insurance doesn't cover it. A lot of times it's important to get a head start and have preventative coverage, but that's pretty difficult with insurances too. So at the Richland Hospital, we really try to reach out to the community too and provide services as a group or as community benefits to help kind of compensate what maybe families can't get through with insurance or even scheduling an appointment.
Mm-hmm. A checkup, lots of time, a yearly checkup is free too, isn't it?
Right, yes. So that's really nice because that can kind of point out any red flags or help with any goals, both just healthy lifestyle and living, exercise, but also nutrition-related labs or status, too.
Mm-hmm. Certainly, if we're going shopping, you know, one of the old things, Grace, is like, well, it's cheaper to eat junk, you know? But I don't know if that's necessarily true, is it?
It's not necessarily true. There are options to eat healthfully. One of my projects in my internships was to create a meal and do price per serving and actually figure out that it is kind of a false thing to say that it is. But it would be more like you're choosing the options that are either in season, meaning that they can price them cheaper because they did not travel as far, or if you're buying canned and frozen options, those are normally cheaper than some of those fresh options, especially right now as Walmart is going to have to start shipping those fresh options from further away. Those prices might go up or the options will be limited. And so if you go to the canned or frozen section, you can still have those options that are going to be a little bit cheaper. And if you get the time where they're all $2 for a pack of frozen, stock up your freezer. They don't go bad. So just shopping the sales and being able to buy those canned and frozen options. They used to have bad reputations for the salt content. Ultimately, there's a lot more options out there that have the less salt or the no salt added in the canned options. And the frozen ones are going to be salt free unless they have sauces or additions in them.
So look at the labels a little bit to see, you know, because some probably do have sugar and salt added too, don't they?
Yeah, it should be a trigger if you see that they're like in a cheese sauce or in a sauce, that there might be additional salt or additions to that. And then when you're looking at frozen fruit, looking to see again too, if there's like a glaze on it, it might report that on the label, because that would mean that they're going to add additional sugar. I mean, fruit already has sugar, so it's going to have it on the label, but just looking to see if there's any sauce or glaze on that fruit. And that goes the same with any canned fruit. We would prefer the ones that are canned in 100% juice, because that will help cut that sugar content, which again is things that we want to watch out for children, is that excess sugar, the added sugar. We're not trying to avoid sugar in children. What we're trying to avoid is having those added sugars that are going to come from additional ingredients added, such as having it canned in syrup, which is going to add more sugar, or when we give them those sugary beverages.
Is there a sugar alternative that we should avoid, or are some better than others when you're reading labels?
So the FDA has said that they're all generally recognized as safe in moderation. So we wouldn't want to have a whole lot of those artificial sweeteners and a lot of those sugar alcohols. So it'd be like anything that's like the OL at the end. When you look at the ingredients, sorbitol, mannitol, xylitol, those are all going to also possibly upset people's stomachs. Some people are a little bit more sensitive to the sugar alcohols, and those you just would want to avoid because you won't feel good.
Right. Yeah. And I'm not an expert, but you know, you look at some of the things and you wonder in the ingredients, Lindsay, why do they put things like that in these vegetables and fruits and things like that?
A lot of times companies try to enhance the taste, enhance the flavor, keep the color nice and fresh looking. Sometimes it's to help with shelf stability and also for people to keep buying them again and again, because sometimes these additives, like I said, can contribute to a better mouthfeel or better flavor. And sometimes our bodies just crave that a little bit more too, depending on what the ingredient is. So lots of times we suggest trying to find options with fewer ingredient lists so you get a little bit more of your whole foods versus this lengthy list of a lot of words you cannot even pronounce. Or at least trying to do your research or ask about it as far as what are these products being added to the foods and why? It's always nice to know the why for that as well. In an ingredient list, the food listed first is always going to be the most abundant in that food. So, and then all the way at the bottom of the ingredient list, that is the ingredient that's found least in there. So that can kind of help give you a sense of if you have high fructose corn syrup at the top of the list, you know that there's going to be a lot of that in there in that food product.
I was just going to bring that up because there for a while, you know, that's all you heard was high fructose corn syrup and how bad it was, but it's in a lot of things, isn't it?
Right. And a lot of times that's, again, for flavor and for the product looking good, for people wanting to continue to buy it because it does taste good. So trying to either not have that in your ingredient list, have more natural sugars in there, your honeys, your molasses, your canes, or having that as close to the bottom of the ingredient list as possible.
MSGs too, isn't that another thing that is talked about, MSG in foods?
MSG, yes, and that's more on the sodium thing. So that is one that is debated a lot because some people say that it's really bad, some people say that it's not. As with any sodium content, we want to limit. Everything should just be taken in moderation and it should not be in excess amounts. Some people, again, are sensitive to MSG where they might have kind of an intolerance where they might get headaches or get an upset stomach from it. And again, then those for sure should be avoiding that ingredient.
Yeah, sometimes what we eat makes us sick. We don't even realize it, right?
Yeah.
So some of our favorites, too.
Yeah. I know. And sometimes I hear a lot of lactose intolerance patients say, well, I really enjoy ice cream, but I know I'm going to be on the toilet. And so it's kind of that give and take sacrifice of what can you do to help find alternatives versus what are you willing to do knowing the consequences.
Uh-huh. My question is always, too, you know, it seems like we hear a lot more of those now, you know, like lactose intolerant or celiac and things like that. Were those things always around, or are they more prevalent now, Grace?
They've always been around. We've just been better at diagnosing and being able to kind of track that. I also kind of always just bring up, in an area like this, our ancestors probably didn't go to the doctor a whole lot, and they probably just ignored the fact that they may have felt really crummy when they ate foods because they were busy, they were on the farm, they were working all the time, and they didn't have the time to go and have someone investigate if they have celiac disease whenever they eat wheat products. But now we're better at having access to healthcare and also diagnosing.
But it probably made a difference because everything was homemade, Lindsay, you know, in terms of breads and everything. They made them in their own kitchen too, right?
Yeah, a lot of times, like I said about those whole food ingredients, you know exactly what's going into your food. So if there is something that's a little bit triggering as far as symptoms or side effects, at least you can try to backdate a little bit and figure out what exactly made it. Might it be? Maybe eliminate some ingredients, see if that helps. You know, it's kind of a trial and error process, especially when you are making your own food versus looking at that longer ingredient list and trying to figure out, is it the sugar alternative? Is it the sodium content, fat content, things like that?
Fascinating stuff. We'll come back with more. In fact, there is a special night for families coming up, a movie night. We'll talk about that when we return. Grace Denman and Lindsay Hatfield are in the studio with us today on The Morning Show. Our friends in the studio from the Richland Hospital, Grace Denman and Lindsay Hatfield, registered dietitians. We're talking about Childhood Obesity Month and all of the things that go along with that. Grace, maybe we could talk a little bit about some of the services that you offer.
Yeah, so Lindsay and I are at the Richland Hospital. Lindsay mostly sees our inpatient patients. And so whenever someone is admitted in the hospital, she will be seeing that patient and checking in. And then Ty and I are in the outpatient department, and we mostly focus on diabetes, but we can also see patients who have commercial insurance for other things such as heart conditions, or if they are looking for weight management help, or if you have chronic kidney disease and want to see someone to kind of help with lessening the perils of having that. But we're here in the Richland Hospital doing those. And we can always, too, if you're ever wondering what the coverage would be like, is call us and ask about it. We can always get our patient estimates team to run an estimate so that you would know what you're paying.
I see. So you take that insurance and kind of run it and give an estimate before any work is done then. So.
Yeah, so if you have commercial insurance, it will be able to tell you if you have coverage or not. And then it's kind of, if you have a copay or something, you should just probably know that. We don't give an estimate for that. But if you don't have coverage for a dietitian specifically, we will give you a quote so that you know what is going to be charged to you.
Do you do some things in the community, some different public things then, Lindsay?
Yeah, like we mentioned earlier, lots of times if those who can't get in to see a dietitian, who aren't admitted to the hospital to see a dietitian, or don't have that insurance coverage or out of pocket coverage, then we really like to do some outreach things. One of the events coming up next month is Club Scrub, and us as dietitians are providing one of those kind of classes, and we'll be doing some fun activities, looking at different nutritional facts and knowledge and doing some experiments with food. So this is a program for 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th graders. It's open to freshmen now, to really kind of dive deeper into not only the nutrition world, but maybe what a dietitian does and how they can help others too. So some fun activities I've got planned for that regarding both salt and sugar, and some fun little competitive games, and of course always food involved in that. But other things we've done is gone to do some cooking classes at schools, looked at school fairs and participated in those. We've done grocery store tours in the past with multiple groups, whether it's school-aged or just adult groups, certain disease condition groups or weight loss support groups. And also we're starting to branch out into the athletic community too, and working with the surrounding high schools to really get them learning about nutrition, especially how it impacts their performance and their growth in that phase of life.
Yeah, that's fascinating stuff too, because I remember back in the day, you know, friends is like, I'm not eating today because I've got a game or whatever, and that's not good, is it?
Right. There's a lot of strategies to work on eating and fueling for performance, for practice, for games, whether it's in the nighttime, in the mornings, on weekends. Sometimes those nerves can kind of block our hunger cues, but it's still just as important to make sure we get enough adequate energy at breakfast time, making smart choices for school lunches or packing your own lunch, so that way you have that energy to prepare for that game or meet match after school.
How can people sign up for the Club Scrub, Grace?
They can contact the Richland Hospital and they will connect them with Sarah, I believe, and she will be the one who then signs them up. And there's multiple date options, so you can always work with Sarah to see which one works best for you.
Do you wish you would have had something like that when you were growing up?
Yeah, I do think that it would have been great to have something similar when I was growing up. I mean, when I was in middle school, I thought I was going to be an architect. It wasn't until I started to take some nutrition classes in high school, just as some fun credits, that I really thought about a job in healthcare and specifically in dietetics. But to have this club scrub where they can get a taste of what healthcare professions can be like and kind of learn that we need people in the healthcare professions. And if you're a person who likes to help, that it would be good options, and then they can kind of learn where they could go. Because, like, for me, I knew I couldn't be a nurse or a doctor because a lot of blood is not my thing. But dietetics is my participation in the healthcare field without having to deal with a lot of blood.
But I think that's important, Lindsay, too. As Grace mentioned, maybe you find out that it's not for you, and you're going to go on and maybe look for something else to do in life then.
Exactly. There's a lot of different areas, even within the healthcare field, even within a job within the healthcare field, different avenues. You can work in more of a critical care unit or a rural hospital like the Richland Hospital, in veteran affairs facilities. So there's lots of different options to meet different types of patients or have different responsibilities. But yes, finding out what you love to do is just as important as finding out what is not for you. So this is a good, at least, way to get your hands dirty, to get experimenting with things, to get to know others, to ask questions, to learn, to see kind of, okay, as we're now going throughout high school, what are some things we want to at least look for, whether it's in a college path or in a non-extra schooling path, and kind of go from there.
'Tis the season for families to be on the run, Grace. And, you know, you're running from soccer practice to maybe a high school kid's got a volleyball match or whatever the case might be. What are some tips and things that we can do so we aren't always just going through drive-through?
Right. So a big thing of that is planning ahead and making sure that you have food on hand that can be on the go. That might be grabbing granola bars and some nuts and like cheese slices, pre-slicing cheese if you just buy the brick to save money. And then finding just containers, filling those up. I mean, the trend right now is kind of the snack tackle boxes where they're just getting a lot of little sections in a box, and you can kind of fill that with different things like your nuts and your fruits. You can have cut up apples in there because that's apple season, and you can have some nuts in there, some cheese for protein. But kind of thinking of how can you incorporate a bit of our carbohydrates, such as crackers or pretzels, incorporating some protein in there, like your cheese, your nuts, or getting a protein bar, granola bar, and then also just some fun things like your fruits, and if we can, even your vegetables in there.
Mm-hmm. Go to an orchard, too. 'Tis the time of year, right?
It is. And it's always fun to go to the orchard to be able to pick out your favorite apples. And also, I think everyone would agree, the apple cider donuts in moderation are great too. But it would be even just a better way is finding one that you can just walk around, even just walking around the grounds of your apple orchard that you're going to shop for, instead of just going there, getting your apples and running away. There's always fun things to do at orchards. Either it's a petting zoo, it's taking pictures with the family around the orchard, or just even looking at the pretty fall colors as that approaches.
Mm-hmm. Another one of my favorite seasons going on right now, Lindsay, is crock pot season.
Yeah, so crock pot is a lovely tool to have in the house because there are so many different types of recipes out there, especially as temperatures get cooler and, you know, the cooking of food for 8 hours in the day smells up the house real nice and gets you hungry. It's very handy for meal prepping as well, whether it's, you know, a crock pot can usually hold large portion sizes. So being able to refrigerate or freeze some of those leftovers after that dinner can really help for the upcoming busy days or weeks. That way, if you are on the go, a lot of times you're coming home to still a fresh meal, even versus trying to eat out at a restaurant or grab something quick on the ride back. So there's lots of different recipes, throwing in some protein in there, some vegetables in there, and letting it kind of simmer all throughout the day is a great way to make sure that you're getting enough protein and getting enough vitamins and minerals.
So I'll put you on the spot. So you're going to a party there, you know, watch the football game there, and you're going to take something in a crock pot there for, do you have a healthy snack idea that you can pass along?
Lots of times we like to make something with venison. We're a big hunting family, as is Grace. And so putting a venison roast in there with some quartered potatoes, and then you've got carrots, onions, mushrooms, things like that to kind of help enhance it as well. Or even chicken is a great option too, where you're adding either just the chicken with a bunch of seasonings and some broth along with some vegetables. And there you can make rice on the side, potatoes on the side.
Stay tuned for the second half of today's morning show program on Sunrise from the Center on WRCE. Coming up, though, in just a moment, we'll have a look at today's news.
Details. Hurry in and let us handle the heavy lifting. We are in downtown Richland Center. This offer ends October 10th. Removals are limited to our usual removal policies.
Welcome to your nightmare. Welcome to your wet basement.
I'm Brent Montry, owner of Tri-State Basement Repair. It's not a laughing matter. I started with the goal of helping people in southern Wisconsin solve their basement flooding issues in a friendly, comfortable way. So if that basement really scares you, call Tri-State Basement Repair today. Get to the root cause of your flooding basement. 877-4-WET-FIX online at tristatebasementrepair.com. Tri-State Basement Repair. Our family helping your family.
WRCO 100.9 FM, Richland Center.
News Time is sponsored by Boscobel Pharmacy and Center Pharmacy, your full-service pharmacies caring for you and about you, and by BL Signs. Today's forecast calls for lots of sunshine and a high of 80, and clear to partly cloudy tonight and 50 for a low. Tomorrow's high on the first day of October, just 64 degrees. That's a look at some weather notes. We'll get into news next.
Boscobel Pharmacy and Center Pharmacy are working hard to give you great service. The pharmacists and staff want you to feel good and to feel good about your pharmacy. You can trust Boscobel Pharmacy and Center Pharmacy, where local people who know and care about you are always willing to take the time to answer your questions. Experience the difference, safety, and convenience at Boscobel Pharmacy and the Center Pharmacy on Orange Street in Richland Center.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Phil Nee, and here is what you need to know. Former President Donald Trump painted a frightening picture of migrants during a Saturday campaign rally in Prairie du Chien. Trump said he would liberate Wisconsin from a mass migrant invasion of murderers, rapists, hoodlums, drug dealers, thugs, and vicious gang members. Trump spoke in Prairie du Chien, where a member of a Venezuela-based criminal gang was arrested earlier this month for an attack on a woman he had been living with and her daughter. Police said the man and his victims knew one another and that they have not had contact with other members of the Tren de Aruga gang. Trump, who will hold a campaign rally Tuesday in the Democratic stronghold of Dane County, blamed President Joe Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris for allowing millions of migrants into the U.S., calling both Democrats mentally disabled. Doc Rivers is getting involved in the presidential campaign. The Milwaukee Bucks head coach was named one of 10 co-chairs for the newly formed Athletes for Harris. The campaign is expected to run ads during college and NFL football games and the World Series. The Harris-Walz campaign said Rivers and the other co-chairs will help recruit fellow athletes to join the campaign through travel, fundraising events, and social media. Lakers Hall of Famer Magic Johnson, Golden State Coach Steve Kerr, and two-time NBA All-Star Chris Paul are among those announced over the weekend. The latest report from the Wisconsin Realtors Association says home prices continue to increase. Association consultant and Marquette Emeritus Economics Professor Dave Clark, noting prices are up about 8%, said lower mortgage rates are likely to increase the number of new listings. Clark says lower rates can be beneficial for prospective home buyers and sellers. With fewer homes on the market, the statewide median rose to $324,000.
$1,000. Sales of existing homes were down just over 4.5% during the last 12 months. Former UW La Crosse Chancellor Joe Gao promises to challenge the latest decision by the UW Board of Regents to strip him of his tenured faculty position. The Regents, meeting at UW Parkside in Kenosha on Friday, voted unanimously to strip him of his tenured faculty position on the La Crosse campus. It's the latest setback for Gao, who was fired as chancellor after revelations that he and his wife produced pornographic material. Gao has maintained that wasn't in his capacity as a UW system employee and that the Regents' actions violated his right to free speech. Gao called the Regents a board of hypocrites and said he and his wife Carmen Wilson seek not only to protect their own rights, but to protect free speech and expression for all Americans. A single student is believed to be responsible for a series of threats made to Western Wisconsin schools. Staff from Chippewa Falls School District and the Wisconsin Department of Justice say a series of threats made last week through the official online reporting app Speak Up, Speak Out came from one student. Those threats forced the closure of schools in Altoona, Augusta, Eau Claire, Chippewa Falls, and Elk Mound. The unidentified student will be facing legal and school-related consequences, though it is unclear if they have been arrested. If you're locked out of your car or your home, be sure you're not going to get scammed by a locksmith. Better Business Bureau Wisconsin spokeswoman Lisa Schiller says one common scam is to increase the price once a technician shows up. Schiller says you should scrutinize any locksmith ad you find online, since scammers have been spamming phony ads on Google or other services. If you're unsure, check online at bbb.org or try calling your local police non-emergency line for a recommendation. The Department of Natural Resources advises hunters to have harvested deer tested for chronic wasting disease this fall. Deer herd specialist Erin Larson says there are plenty of options.
A self-service kiosk, which is available 24 hours, has all the information and the tools that are needed for the hunter to remove their deer head and submit it for the CWD test. We also have staff locations where there'll be workers that can help a hunter through the process for submitting for sampling.
The Vernon County Planning Commission will be hosting a free land use educational event with guest speaker Rebecca Roberts, land use specialist with UWSP, on Wednesday from 3 until 5 in the Vernon County Boardroom. The Planning Commission would like to invite and encourages the public to attend. Attendance is being offered in person or via Zoom. For more information, visit vernoncounty.org. And the American Red Cross continues to experience a critical need for blood and platelets to keep the blood supply stable as fall gets underway. Donors of all blood types, especially those with type O blood, those giving platelets, and those who have never given before, are needed now. With the blood supply still at critical levels, every single donation is key to making sure all patients relying on life-saving transfusions, including car accident victims and those living with sickle cell disease, get the care they need. 5 Red Cross blood drives will be held this week at various locations around the listening area. The first will be held today from 9 until 3 at Sauk County Public Health Department. 3 chances to give will be Thursday. The first will be 9:30 until 2:30 at Royal High School. The second will be 11:30 until 5 at Don Larson Chevrolet Buick GMC in Baraboo. And the third will be from 1 until 6 at American Legion Post 245 in Cross Plains. The fifth opportunity to give the gift of life will be Friday from 12:30 until 5:30 at the Arena Fire and EMS Station. Appointments are appreciated by calling 1-800-RED-CROSS or online at redcrossblood.org.
Wherever you are in southwest Wisconsin, you're always close to someone who has trusted BL Signs. The van you're meeting with a great rap, the business sign that makes you feel welcome before you even get out of the car, or the restaurant sign that makes you hungry the moment you see it. BL Signs is the trusted source for projects done well, done on time, and done on budget. The best start for any signage project is BL Signs of Richland Center. Online at blsignage.com.
Today's forecast calls for a high of 80 and lots of sunshine. Tonight, clear to partly cloudy, a low of 50. Mostly sunny Tuesday, breezy and more fall-like with cooler temperatures, a high of 64. Wednesday, sunny, turning breezy and a bit milder, and a high of 72. Right now in Richland Center, after the midnight reading of 54, we have light winds, and we're down to our overnight low, 48 degrees. Reports of a little bit of fog in some of the areas early on this morning. Otherwise, it should be a beautiful morning and a great day in southwest Wisconsin.
Hi, this is State Representative Tony Kurtz, and I'm honored to serve my neighbors here in rural Wisconsin. Out here, we don't ask for much, just safe streets, food on the table, and a place to call home. That's why I've worked hard to push money out of Madison and back to our communities. I've secured larger investments in our roads, first responders, and hospitals, all while cutting taxes and maintaining a balanced budget. Of course, there's more work to be done. That's why I'm asking for your vote this November. Together, we'll build a better Wisconsin.
Paid for by Kurtz for Assembly.
Do you enjoy working with a locally owned mom-and-pop business? If so, consider Meyer Oil and LP. We've been locally owned since 1956, providing propane, bulk lubes, and fuel. We have you covered. If you're considering a new fuel provider, please call Meyer Oil and LP at 608-524-3914 and see if we're the right fit for you.
Sports Time is sponsored by the Homesteader Store, Southern Wisconsin's tractor experts. We'll look at the local and area high school scene, details on a Brewer and a Packer loss yesterday as well.
LS Tractors are a great tractor at a great price. Hi, I'm Rick from the Homesteader Store. The fastest growing tractor line in Wisconsin is LS Tractor, part of the LG group of companies. These high quality four-wheel drive diesel tractors are one of the best values in compact tractors. They have silky smooth hydrostatic transmissions. They offer great financing. You can go to our website where you can watch a short video where I go through the different sizes of LS tractors to fit your needs. Learn about the full line of LS tractors at Southern Wisconsin Tractor Experts, the Homesteader Store.
On the local area scene, there is JV football tonight. Richland Center plays host to Platteville. River Valley will be in action. They'll be at Lancaster tonight in JV football at 5:30. Also, Riverdale will be at Pecatonica as that JV game gets underway at 5:30. And Boscobel will be at River Ridge. Eight-player football, Oneewoc Weston is playing Highland at Highland. And for Kickapoo Lafarge, they are doing battle tonight at North Crawford, again in eight-player football. Over the weekend, the Richland Center volleyball team hosted an invite Saturday, and they won all their sets to win the day on their home court. Those victories included 25-13, 25-7 over Lafarge, 25-9, 25-17 over Prairie du Chien, 25-15, 25-15 over Riverdale, 26-24 and 25-15 over Seneca, and two 25-19 wins over Nisida. Riverdale lost 2 to Richland Center. They won against Lafarge in 2, also defeated Prairie du Chien in 2 before losing 2 sets to Seneca and losing 2 to Nisida at the invite at RCHS. And it was homecoming football for Highland on Saturday. They defeated Oneewoc Weston 56-7 in that game. A second half comeback fell 2 points short Sunday as the Packers dropped a 31-19 decision to Minnesota. The Vikings had scored the first 28 points of the game before Coach Matt LaFleur's offense got into gear. Quarterback Jordan Love returned from his injury to throw 4 touchdown passes, but he was also intercepted 3 times. The Green Bay record falls to 2-2. Former Packers running back Aaron Jones carried the ball 22 times for 93 yards and caught 4 passes for another 46 yards on the day. Here is Packers quarterback Jordan Love.
You know, I had a turnover early, and we just didn't make plays. I think did not play well enough personally. Me and you know, accuracy was a little bit off, a little bit shaky, and was definitely making it hard on some of the guys, which just led to us, you know, getting off the field early and not being able to put up points. And so, kind of got in the hole early with all that resulting. So,
Green Bay travels to Los Angeles to meet the Rams for the next game. Elsewhere in the NFL, it was Atlanta over New Orleans, 26-24. The Bears beat the Rams, 24-18. Cincinnati, 34. Carolina, 24. Denver, 10. The Jets, 9. Houston, 24-20 over Jacksonville. Indianapolis, 27. Pittsburgh, 24. Tampa Bay, 33-16 over Philadelphia. San Francisco, 30. New England, 13. Washington, 42. Arizona 14, Kansas City 17, the Chargers 10, and Las Vegas beat Cleveland 20-16, Baltimore 35-10 over Buffalo as well. The Brewers will have to wait until after the Monday doubleheader to see which team they host in the wildcard round starting Tuesday. Milwaukee was shut out on 3 singles Sunday in the regular season finale, 5-0 to the Mets. Colin Ray started and took the loss. New York starter Doug Peterson gave up only one hit through 7 innings. The Mets and Braves meet today in Atlanta to determine which team advances. The Brewers will certainly host either the Mets or the Diamondbacks starting on Sunday. Elsewhere, it was St. Louis over San Francisco, 6-1. Dodgers 2-1 over Colorado. Philadelphia 6, Washington 3. Arizona 11, San Diego 2. Cincinnati 3, and the Cubs nothing. Again, baseball playoffs get underway. Brewers play Tuesday for their next game, whoever that is against. And in the American League, Houston at Cleveland was postponed. Also, Boston 3-1 over Tampa Bay. Texas 8, the Angels nothing. Baltimore a winner against Minnesota. 6-2, Seattle 6-4 over
a little
Oakland,
bit of noodles on the side. Sox, so I don't think anyone's going to say
Miami
no
three,
to
Toronto
someone bringing
one,
a crock pot
Yankee
to a family dinner or
Pittsburgh,
tailgate
Kansas
or anything
City
like
four,
that. And there's a lot
Atlanta,
of two. Ones that are portable
an on
now, too.
We recap baseball,
well, the game's at noon. If you and your husband want to come over, you can bring that on Sunday. Do you have any ideas, Grace, in terms of crock pot recipes or anything?
When I think of crock pot, I think of a lot of roast with a lot of vegetables. They also have like the like casseroles that you can start making in the crock pot too, where you, if you just throw in all the ingredients and the, at least start cooking the protein, and then you can shred the chicken, and then you can kind of get into like an enchilada thing in your crock pot. But the big thing is, whenever something asks for vegetables, throw in extra, because that's going to help kind of build that healthy eating habit, have those vegetables, especially even it's soup season too, and throw in all those extra vegetables. And it can be just from those frozen packs that you just dump in there, but extra vegetables won't ruin a recipe. They'll only enhance it for everyone's health.
That's great. You know, and that brings up a good point. My favorite way to eat carrots is a whole bunch of carrots, like in a roast, or you mentioned venison or something, put that all together, and carrots taste really good in something like that, don't they?
I'm not a cooked carrot fan.
Oh, no.
I would always pick those out growing up, but there are different vegetables to add to it. Lots of times we do peppers, you know, such as bell peppers, jalapenos. We like experimenting with banana peppers in there, so there are other vegetables I choose around, but raw carrots I like. Yeah. It's just the cooked. Something about the texture. I don't know.
Yeah. See, that's like with me and raisins, too. I'm not a raisin fan. It's the texture, I think, and more than anything.
And I think that's a common thing, too, with children, is that children are sensitive to textures, too. And so if they don't like a vegetable or a fruit that you have served them, try cooking it in a different way, and they'll change textures. Like Lindsay, she can eat raw carrots, but she won't eat the cooked ones. There's, I'm sure, other people who say the opposite, where they don't want the raw ones, but they want the cooked ones. And I know a lot of the cruciferous vegetables, the cauliflower, the broccoli, those ones, some people say they won't touch raw, but they'll eat them cooked. The other thing that I hear from patients a lot too is that they don't like vegetables because what they're associating is just a mushy pile on their plate. And so then I talk about how we don't have to oversteam them and overcook them until they're a pile of mush. We can roast them. We can throw them in an air fryer. If we have air fryers, that's a common thing that people have been having in their kitchens lately. It's basically a tiny little oven, so you can be roasting all your vegetables in there, and you can have quick, easy roasted vegetables. The other thing is that when we're cooking it, we're bringing out different flavors of the vegetable, and that's why it can be completely different. A raw version, it might not be as sweet. When we start to cook it, it's going to break down those fibers, and it's going to get a little bit sweeter. And then when you roast it and you get that kind of crispy on it, it can get even a little bit sweeter.
Mm-hmm. Most definitely. Well, you have a movie night coming up here you'd like to plug as well, Grace.
We do. So the Richland Hospital has received a 5-star patient rating from the Centers of Medical and Medicaid Services. And this is a composite score that our patients gave us. And so we're very proud of that. So we are going to be celebrating by showing Inside Out 2 on Saturday, October 12th. The gates will open at 5:30 and the movie will begin at dusk. And all people are welcome. So come on down and watch Inside Out 2 with all of us.
Yeah. Sounds like a lot of fun. And that'll be the first time to see the movie, right? You guys haven't seen that movie yet?
I haven't seen number one, so I'm going to have some catching up to do before October 12th comes.
It's on Disney Plus.
Yeah, stream that on Disney Plus and then get ready for the 12th movie night. That's a great family thing to do, isn't it?
It is. And it's nice to just get outside and bring the blankets and open up the trunk and all cuddle up and watch the movie, or just bring your own big chair to settle in. But you might want blankets on October 12th.
Awesome. Well, you guys always bring some good news, and it's fun talking about food and things like that. Do when you're out in the community, do people judge you? You know, it's like, well, there's Lindsay with the biggest ice cream cone I've ever seen. You know, do you get that or not?
No. I think that, we make jokes back and forth, but it just goes to show that we're all human. We all have different goals, different health and lifestyles, and we always talk to our patients. You know, there is this huge quality of life component, too. Mm-hmm. You don't know anyone's story behind what their grocery cart holds, so I think that, you know, showing by example is important for most of your day, week, life, things like that, but also showing that it is okay to really enjoy the food. It's there for enjoyment too, and also nourishment.
Yeah, even if you don't like cooked carrots, you know,
right,
it's all right. Everything in moderation, that's the bottom line, right, Grace?
That is. We're not looking for perfection. Nutrition is never about perfection. Our body is not all about you have to get all the right nutrients every single day. It's that most of the time we want to be eating it to get those nutrients in a grand scheme of things. So we're not looking for perfection every day. And I always tell my patients 80-20. If 80% of the time we can try and eat right, have half of our plate of fruits and vegetables and have a good protein source, then the other 20 is for allowing us to live life. And with the holidays coming up, that's kind of something to keep in mind.
Mm-hmm. Lots of holidays, lots of food. Thanksgiving and Christmas. Not Christmas, in fact, is now less than 3 months away. Isn't
that's scary.
That is scary.
It blows my mind.
Thanks for coming in, you two.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Good to see you again. Indeed. Grace Denman and Lindsay Hatfield, registered dietitians with the Richland Hospital. On our morning show, Steve Colstead joins us. He's been a busy fellow here lately. How did the fair go for the Richland Center, Kiwanis?
Actually, the fair went really well, Phil. We had a lot of people who came to our stand. It was a profitable year. I thought the fair went really good. Some of the exhibits were down, especially some of the dairy exhibits because of some of the diseases that are out there that they had to face, but I think everything and the spirits of people were really up. So, you know, a fair brings out a lot of the good side of a community, and people get to see each other, reminisce, enjoy their company, and take in the sights. I think that's kind of what fairs are all about. Those are the community get-togethers that come once a year and people take a part of them, that type of thing. So we saw a lot of faces at our food stand that we've seen over the years. And, you know, we actually sold a lot of product. And I think the best stuff is when you get all these volunteer workers in this closed area of a food stand and they start talking and reminiscing and, you know, they just have a lot of fun giving away food. And I shouldn't say giving away, but we try and keep our prices so that a family can actually feed their family with our prices. But, you know, I think because the Kiwanis Club serves the youth in the community and families in the community, we like to keep the prices to the point where people can come and eat. A lot of hours, though, Phil. I have to say that because we're a small club, you know, a few of us have to put a few hours in to get it ready and a few more hours just to make sure we're there if people have a lot of questions. As I've always told my children, you can just do anything for a short period of time. And that's kind of, I think, where most people who work down at the fairgrounds during the fair are at. They put in some long hours. They enjoy the company, the people. And, you know, they take in the sights from the standpoint of the people coming back and chatting with them.
I knew you were busy because, you couldn't even give me a hard time. You were back there frying cheese curds or doing something when I was there. So.
Yeah, it's either that or I was there early in the morning when Premier had their breakfast for the exhibitors. And we had our breakfast on Sunday morning. So I was there at 4 o'clock in the morning getting those things ready to go. It's one of those things where sometimes you're really, really busy and other times you get to socialize some. But, you know, such as a food stand at the local county fair.
So is that one of the major fundraisers for the Kiwanis during the year, Steve?
Actually, it's one of them. We have a couple of pancake suppers that play major roles in our fundraising. And then we have a food stand open at the rodeo. But we're having a pancake supper, one of our major fundraisers, coming up on October 2nd. It's going to run the same as all of our food stands do. It's going to run from 5 until our pancake supper's 5 till 7 at night. It'll be at the Richland Center Community Center. It'll be pancake, sausage, apple sauce, and warm cherries, the same as we normally do. All the pancakes you can eat, fried right in front of you. And it's a fundraiser for Coats for Kids. The last one we had, which was in July, was the Backpack Program, which is a major fundraiser and one of our major projects. And the Coats for Kids program is, too. We generally donate someplace between 125 and 170 coats to kids in need in our community through the Coats for Kids program. And this is one of those major sources of money for that particular program. We always take a goodwill offering because we really don't want anybody be turned away. You know, if somebody comes and they only have a few dollars, or even if they don't have any money, you know, they go through the line and get fed. And I think that's the other thing that's really important about a pancake supper. And it doesn't matter if we hold it or a different organization. You know, it's the social portion of it, sitting down for a meal and talking to somebody maybe you haven't seen in a few weeks or months or whatever, and enjoying their company and enjoying the food in a place where there's a lot of room and you have a lot of space to sit. And you can just really enjoy their company. And so that's what we're really offering with this pancake supper is pancakes, sausages, some applesauce, a beverage, but then the opportunity to sit down and enjoy someone else's company. And we're saying a goodwill offering because obviously, we want people to come and enjoy the company. And we're not going to put a limitation on that by saying it's a certain price or not.
Tell me about the Coats for Kids project then, Steve. The wheels are kind of turning for that for another year?
We've run the Coats for Kids projects actually for about 15 years now. In the old days, what it amounts to is we would use the Church of the Nazarene meeting hall, and we would set the coats up, and people would gather in a line, and they would give us their sizes. We'd hand it off to someone else inside, and then they'd go in, and the kids would actually try the coats on and take them out the door. And then COVID struck. And so there wasn't any physical contact. We couldn't have any physical contact. So what we decided to do is work through Health and Social Services and have them as the outlet for the Coats for Kids. So what we will do is a lot of their clients are in need of coats. So Health and Social Services gives us a list of their clients and what they need. And then people will call in to Health and Social Services and ask, is there an outlet for coats? Can we get a coat we're really in need? Then I get that particular number, and I call them back, ask what sizes they need. I put them into a bag, take them back down to Health and Social Services, and then the people who want to receive the coats just come there and pick their coats up. So it takes me out of the middle of actually meeting the people face-to-face, but it also gives them a safe place to pick the coats up. So we're still in a point where people, if they're in need of having coats, they have a place to get them, which is our particular program. But it also puts in a place to pick them up that wouldn't be at somebody's personal house or something like that.
And are they all new coats, Steve?
They're all new coats. Mm-hmm. You know, we went to the process of providing new coats rather than used coats because it's, you know, it's so much easier to handle. And surprisingly, Wallace Cooper and Elliott has been a partner with us for a really, really long time, and most of the coats that they receive anymore coming in are brand new coats. A lot of different variety and sizes, you know, that type of thing. We have a budget for our club for a certain amount of money, and that's what this fundraiser is about, just in case we have those coats that we may not have on hand. You know, I'm really surprised. You know, I wear a double X coat, Phil, but, you know, some of the students that we give to the high school are in that 4X area, which, you know, those are the ones we have to go out and purchase. Mm-hmm. Larger coats, you know, adult-sized coats that we generally don't have on hand, but we have a source, you know, that we go and get a really sweet deal on them, but we try and provide.
Steve, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you so much for having me, Phil.
Yeah, appreciate all you do, and Kiwanis, too. And that's it for this subject on The Morning Show today.
The update at 7 is sponsored by Jones Chevrolet, the car and truck people of Southwest Wisconsin, the Richland Family Prescription Center, where your family always comes first.